Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today for Thursday, January 23rd. Francisco Rojas here with you for the latest Phillies Today for Phillies 24/7 in Sports Radio 94 WIP. And have a fun show for you. Got to get to these Hall of Fame results. How did the four former Phillies fare on the 2025 Hall of Fame ballot? Orion Kerkering, could he be the new closer in 2025? We'll get to that. And then we will get to a little bit of around Major League Baseball. Yes, the Dodgers made another move, another notable move. And we will get to that a little later in the show. But I want to start with the Hall of Fame results for the 2025 ballot. And I had kept you up to date with the Hall of Fame ballot tracker, which is obviously not the end-all be-all, but Ryan Thibodeau, who does a really good job of that, who has run it for years now, does a really good job with it and makes it fun for the fans and experts alike leading up to the Hall of Fame election results, which were announced last night at 6 p.m. And four former Phillies were on the ballot. Billy Wagner was on his 10th and final year. Bobby Abreu was on his 6th year. Jimmy Rollins was on his 4th. And Chase Utley was on his 2nd year. 2nd year after a pretty solid debut at 28% in year number 1 last year. So here's how they fared. Billy Wagner, who was literally 1.2% away in his penultimate year on the ballot a year ago. And Billy Wagner got in 325 votes, which equaled 82.5%. Billy Wagner is a Hall of Famer. Probably going to go in, I would say, as an Astro. I'm not probably, he's definitely going to go in. That's the team that he started with, started his career with. Did leave there in 03 for the Phillies. Had two fantastic years. And then after that, you know, was with the Mets for about 3+ years. And then Boston and Atlanta to end his career. But look, he had a, that I thought, he deserved to get in. I thought that how dominant he was start to finish. He only had 1 year where his ERA was above 3, and that was because he was dealing with an elbow injury, I believe, and didn't even pitch a full. It was he was in 28 games at a 6.18 ERA, and he was not himself. So, but every other year, Wagner was incredible, and I thought, relievers are tough. Like, usually you look at somebody like a Mariano Rivera, and you say, well, you know, they're a slam dunk. Relievers are tough because there's not many relievers in the Hall of Fame. You have to really have like an incredible career as a reliever slash closer. And I think Wagner just gets in over the finish line, and that is what he did. 82.5% he gets in. Bobby Abreu, his sixth year on the ballot, finishes with 19.5%. Not much movement for Bobby Abreu. I believe that's what he had around last year. I thought it was around 20%. Hasn't moved much since he's been on the ballot for 5-6 years now. So Abreu, 19.5%. Abreu for me had a very, very underrated career, but not a Hall of Famer. So, you know, I appreciate people say, you know, people talking about Abreu's career afterwards and how good of a player he was, and he was underrated. I get that, but I think rightfully so, he's probably not going to get in the Hall of Fame. His sixth year, 19.5%. Jimmy Rollins, 18%. Making progress. 18% in his fourth year. I don't think J-Roll's going to get in. I think in the next couple of years, especially, I think we'll get an idea if J-Roll really will have a shot. But I don't think J-Roll got 18%. I think that's about where he's going to hover for a little while. I don't suspect that J-Roll will get any higher than, you know, he went from 14% to 18% this year. I believe that's what it was. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that J-Roll gets 18%. Chase Utley, though. Utley is the bigger one here besides Wagner. Obviously, Wagner getting in. And probably the biggest one for Phillies fans because, like, look, Wagner wasn't necessarily a fan favorite and was only here a couple of years, you know, even though I love watching Wagner pitch. But Wagner, not much of a fan favorite, as Chase Utley, who goes from 28% to basically 40, got 39.8% in his fourth year, 157 votes. It's good for Utley. The ballot tracker for a while was giving me like 50 to 55%, and if you had been keeping up with that, Utley is borderline to me. I put out a picture of my ballot like a couple hours before the results were supposed to be announced. I did not put Utley on my ballot. I think Utley just misses for me. Actually, I don't know. I changed my mind in the first years on the ballot. I think I put him on my ballot first year. Second, this year, I actually didn't. I just think the latter half of his career, he was a little injured too much. Maybe he could have had a couple of more years there where he could have been a little more productive if he could have stayed healthy. But Utley, though, looking like, you know, for someone, I still think he's borderline. Looking pretty good. 40%, 28%, and 40% in his second year. That sounds about right. I think that bodes well for Chase. That bodes well. I think he's somebody that later down the line in years like 7 to 10, I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. I won't be mad at that. I don't think he is, but he's borderline to me. So for Chase to, you know, to be 40%, go from 28 to 40, have a jump like that. No, he didn't double it like the ballot tracker was potentially indicating. He didn't do that, but 40%, pretty good for Chase Utley in his second year. Overall, who was elected? Wagner, like I had mentioned. CeCe Sabathia getting in on his first try. Also getting in on their first try, Ichiro Suzuki. Everyone suspected that. I think CeCe was a question among people. It was like, oh, I think a lot of people thought he was a Hall of Famer, but would he get in on the first ballot? He did. CeCe Sabathia, 3,000 strikeouts, former Cy Young Award winner, gets into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Billy Wagner, CeCe Sabathia, and Ichiro Suzuki, who all got into the Hall of Fame, along with, hey, with the Classic Era Committee with Dick Allen and Dave Parker. Congrats to those two. You know, rest in peace to Dick Allen, but he is in the Hall of Fame, the former Philly. So technically, you get two former Phillies into the Hall this year. So congrats to the two former Phils. Others that were close, Carlos Beltran, 70% in his third year. I think he gets in inevitably in the next couple of years, probably next year. Andrew Jones, 66% in his eighth year. And A-Rod, 37% in his fourth year. That's all I got for you as far as other notable ones. But Cole Hamels, looking ahead to next year, Cole Hamels is a part of next year's ballot. I'm not going to lie. It is a bit of a weak group of newcomers. A bit weak. Love Cole. Cole had a very good career. Great career as a Philly. Really good career. Cole's not a Hall of Famer. I think a lot of us can agree on that. Don't think there's anyone out there that's going to try and make a case for Cole. Cole would probably, out of the, I guess, four former Phillies that'll be on the ballot next year, will probably have the weakest case, you know, between Abreu, Rollins, Utley, and Cole. But Cole will be a part of next year's ballot. He will be a newcomer. Others include Ryan Braun, Alex Gordon, Shin-Soo Choo, Edwin Encarnacion, Hunter Pence, former Philly as well. Can't miss Hunter Pence. Matt Kemp, Rick Porcello, Daniel Murphy, Howie Kendrick, Nick Markakis, and Matt Wieters. Not all that strong of a class. Very good players. Very good players that I grew up watching there, for sure. But I don't think I need to really do a double or triple check on some of these guys to think that they should or should not be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe I'll double check this to be like, oh, look, remember how great their career was? But I don't think I'll be looking at any of these guys saying, man, oh, they should be in the Hall. And Cole probably has one of the stronger cases out of those guys, but at the end of the day, I mean stronger cases, I mean like strongest careers, not Hall of Fame careers. All Hall of Very Good guys. That's a strong class for Hall of Very Good. So those are your Hall of Fame results. Billy Wagner, former Philly, getting in, and Abreu, Rollins, and Utley all on the ballot as well, with Utley probably making the biggest jump. Technically out of the four makes the biggest jump as far as percent goes. So that is how the Hall of Fame results fared yesterday. Okay, so I recently saw, I think it was on the Philly show, that Caleb Cotham was on and talked about Ryan Kirkering. And he said basically that he thinks he does have a future as the closer of this team, as the closer of the Philadelphia Phillies. And about how, and I believe Kirkering talked about, you know, basically stepping into Jeff Hoffman's shoes now that Jeff Hoffman's gone. And basically the question I have for you out there, again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And we're, what, I think we're officially a month away from spring training, I believe so. What do you think potentially about Orion Kerkering being the closer of this team? Because Orion Kerkering, great year in his first full year in the majors last season. You know, there was all the hype around him basically having the best pitch in the minors, you know, that sweeper. In 2023. And then last year, I mean, he was nails. I mean, there was a couple of, you know, little speed bumps here and there. But I mean, look, rookie year, kids 23. It happens. But 2.29 ERA last year in 63 innings pitched. A 2.42 FIP. I mean, he was one of the best relievers on a really good bullpen. Saw a lot of the innings in the 6th and 7th. But could he potentially be the closer of this team now? That's the question I have for you out there. Do you see him potentially being the closer of this team? Because I'll tell you, where I am, I'm not ready to give Kerkering the ball in the 9th out the gate. I am very, very, very content. I will use the word content with them going closer by committee. Jose Alvarado, Jordan Romano, Matt Strom, Orion Kerkering. And if Jordan Romano had not gotten injured last year and maybe had like another 30 save season, I would say Romano should be the closer maybe. But the fact is, Romano got hurt. And you know, he had the injury, and it's been a couple of years now. Not to say that Romano wasn't, you know, great with, I mean, with Toronto from 2021 to 2023. I mean, average, you know, right around 30, a little more than 30 saves a year. You know, an ERA in the twos, like, was great. Two-time All-Star. Was really good. But I just think that, I mean, maybe Romano proves himself in the early parts of the year. And maybe by the All-Star break, Jordan Romano is the closer. But I think what I'm comfortable with right now, Alvarado, Romano, Strom, and Kerkering going closer by committee to a certain extent. And that's kind of what they did last year until, what, Estevez, they traded for Estevez, and they said, yo, we want you to be our closer. I'm content with them doing basically what they did last year. And maybe, you know, maybe we come back around the trade deadline and maybe they get somebody, or maybe they're sticking with somebody by then. Maybe it is Kerkering. But Kerkering's a little too young, you know, and he doesn't have much closer experience, at least in the majors, as far as I'm concerned. Matt Strom, not a whole lot of experience as a closer. Alvarado's been iffy in the 9th. Like, there's times where he's great and there's times where he's not. I would like them to go closer by committee. I just would. I think that's a smart thing to do. I think when you look at a lot of teams, I think, you know, we talk about how important the closer role is, which I do. It does have importance to me. But I think it's important you find out throughout the year who could. I'm comfortable with how they did it last year. They let guys basically find their roles throughout the year. And sometimes that's the best thing to do, especially bringing in somebody new like a Jordan Romano. And I just think it's the smartest thing to do. But also, by the way, I want to say, and we're going to get to this in a second, still, look, and I know Kirby Yates is off the board now, and so is Paul Sewald. So it probably looks like this is what the bullpen's going to look like now, man. This is what the bullpen's going to look like. I want to say they can still go after relievers, but they're just coming off the board, and they're not going for a lot of money. Maybe Kenley Jansen? Jansen and Estevez are still out there. I'd still be willing to give them a contract to spend it, depending on the money. But Sewald just got a one-year deal. I think not that much. I think it was a one-year, seven-year deal. I have to double-check on that. Kirby Yates to the Dodgers. We're going to get to that in a second. I still would like them to get somebody else for the bullpen. I still would just feel a little more comfortable to have another option. Dodgers not having a problem. They're not having a problem doing that. They're like, Tanner Scott, oh yeah, we can get Kirby Yates too. So I would love to know where your thoughts are about the bullpen. Are you happy with we've kind of talked about this, you know, last podcast, last couple of podcasts. How do you feel about this bullpen right now where it stands? Are you good feeling this is probably what the bullpen is going to look like heading into 2025, heading into spring training? I don't think we're going to see anybody else be signed. Maybe another arm here and there, but not anybody notable. Like I like with Jansen or bringing back Estevez or something like that. So what are your thoughts on the bullpen? You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_ on Twitter/X. Let me know your thoughts around Major League Baseball. So I just mentioned a couple there, but just to double back a little bit, Paul Sewald to the Cleveland Guardians. He gets a one-year deal with a mutual option for 2026. Another reliever off the board for the Phillies. And then another one after that with Kirby Yates to the Los Angeles Dodgers. He gets a tentative agreement pending a physical with the Dodgers. So it's technically not official, but just needs to pass a physical. And then he is a Los Angeles Dodgers, coming off of one of the better seasons of his career in his late 30s. So Kirby Yates, another big name to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Anthony Santander. Blue Jays actually make a bit of a splash. Blue Jays get Santander 5 years, $92 million, coming off a 40 home run season. Santander going to be smack dab in the middle of that Blue Jays lineup, making a new home in Toronto with the Blue Jays. And lastly, Roky Sasaki. He said what's up to LeBron James at a Lakers game last night. I mean, Los Angeles with the Dodgers, they're just living the life. They just won the World Series, that Mickey Mouse World Series. Who cares about that anymore, right? That's solidified. Sasaki's a Dodger. Tanner Scott's a Dodger. Let's all go to Lakers games together, and let's hold up the LA sign. Let's just do it. I don't even... whatever. The Dodgers are ridiculous right now, but Roky Sasaki saying what's up to LeBron at a Lakers game, I think it was like before a shoot-around or something like that, it looked like. But Sasaki saying what's up to Bron at a Lakers game. Switching from basketball to hockey. See some Phillies with the Flyers game last night? I don't know what that was for, to be honest. Shout out to Glenn Macnow, WIP legend, was honored at the Flyers game. It was like Glenn Macnow night, basically. So shout out to Glenn. But some Phillies were in the building as well. Buddy Kennedy, Christopher Sanchez, Orion Kerkering, Cody Clemens, and Weston Wilson all hanging out at a Flyers game. There must have been a reason for that, but they were all hanging out at a Flyers game. Those five guys, Buddy Kennedy, Christopher Sanchez, Orion Kerkering, Cody Clemens, and Weston Wilson all hanging out in a suite at the Flyers game, who got the win, by the way, last night, 2-1 in overtime over the Red Wings. I think Rasmus Ristolainen got the goal, but who knows? He was credited. It looked like it could have been Farabee. I mean, we'll tip it at first, and then Tippett didn't really put it across the line, so it was either Farabee or Rasmus Ristolainen, and it looks like it was Ristolainen. So, yes, some Phillies spotted at a Flyers game last night as the Flyers get a W over the Detroit Red Wings. This day in Phillies history, to end the show. Transactions on this day, January 23rd. 1998, they signed free agent Yorkies Perez. 2004, They signed free agent Brian Pell. In 2007, they signed free agent Antonio Alfonseca. Born on this date, 1873, Red Donahue played for the Phillies in the late 1800s. In 1907, Bobby Burke, pitcher that played for the Phils in 1937. I think he played like two games, but a former Philly nonetheless. So shout out to Bobby Burke. Happy birthday. 1930, Frank Sullivan played for the Phillies in the early 1960s. Now we're getting to guys I know. Fast forward 46 years. Yep. Brandon Duckworth. I mean, he's a Phillies hurler legend. Played for the Phillies in the early 2000s. Yeah, Brandon Duckworth didn't have the best Phillies career, but he's a part of those early 2000s Phillies team that I grew up on. Some of those just obscure names of players that sucked. Let's be real. But happy birthday to Brandon Duckworth. And then happy birthday to Yairo Munoz, who played for the Phillies in 2022. I would imagine has a National League Championship Series ring with the Phillies from 2022. Contributed with three dingers, seven RBI. That's all I'll mention because there's not much to it more than that. Played 29 games for the Phillies in 2022. He hasn't been in the majors since, as far as I know. But happy birthday, Yairo Munoz, turning 30 years old. From the Dominican Republic. So happy birthday to Yairo Munoz. And that is going to do it for the January 23rd edition of Phillies Today here with Francisco Rojas. Everything that we talked about, Hall of Fame results, Kirkering potentially being the closer, Dodgers signing somebody else, and Kirby Yates. I want to know all of your thoughts on everything. You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_ to let me know everything that you're thinking about all the topics. We're about a month away from spring training. I'm ready. I know you're ready. That's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.